Saddam Hussein is in captivity, George W. Bush is up in the polls, and the Democrats have gone fratricidal. Those developments are grist for our political commentators, E.J. Dionne of the Washington Post and the Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of the New York Times. Hello to both of you once again.
Hello. Greetings.
David Brooks first. The attacks in Iraq continue, but there is an overnight poll in the New York Times showing that the president's war policy suddenly looks a lot better. Have things changed radically here?
Well, as you were reading off that list at the top, I don't know what the opposite of a perfect storm is, but perfect sunshine is sort of how the Republicans feel. I think they know that the boost from the Saddam capture is temporary. But I think they do have a sense that where we were talking about quagmire in Vietnam a few weeks ago, at least for the time being, we're not. And unless something terrible happens in the future, that phase of the debate may be over.
You agree with that, EJ? The Q word is out?
For the time being, I think, you know, Saddam climbs out of a hole and Democrats climb into bunkers. The Democratic race became a free fire zone this week. And I think it really underscored the extent to which Howard Dean dominates this whole race. Before this happened, Democrats were eager to imitate Howard Dean in being anti-Bush. Suddenly, a lot of Dean's opponents say, wait a minute, there's an opportunity here to go after Dean on the war. And they hit him very hard. I think the irony is Saddam's capture could well have more of an impact on the Democratic race than it has on the general election, because for Bush, what will matter in November is how things are going in Iraq. But right now, Democrats who think Dean was running away with it saw an opportunity to go after him, and a lot of them suddenly switched what they were saying.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think if you take the Gore endorsement and the Saddam capture, it's a new chapter. They really are going after in a wholehearted, sometimes vicious way. It's hard to see the vehicle by which the anti-Dean forces succeed, but they're trying.
Talk about vicious. EJ, you wrote a column this week about, among other similar developments, this ad, which appeared on television in New Hampshire and South Carolina. The picture one would see is an ever steadily tightening close-up shot of Osama bin Laden.
We live in a very dangerous world, and there are those who wake up every morning determined to destroy Western civilization. Americans want a president who can face the dangers ahead. But Howard Dean has no military or foreign policy experience. And Howard Dean just cannot compete with George Bush on foreign policy. It's time for Democrats to think about that. And think about it now.
EJ, is it time for Republicans to think about how well the Democrats are attacking their own frontrunner?
I think they want to hire whoever made that ad and have him work for Bush or her. The ad is both despicable and very effective. It's despicable because we don't know who's behind that ad.
But we do.
There's a lot of speculation.
It's Americans for Jobs, Health Care, and Progressive Values.
Right.
People behind that ad.
And they don't have to disclose anything about who's giving the money until after New Hampshire and Iowa vote. There seem to be a bunch of people who are sympathetic to Gephardt associated with that. There's speculation about other campaigns being involved in it. That part is despicable. But it's very effective because it puts on the table the question that an awful lot of these Democrats, notably Joe Lieberman, but also John Kerry, Dick Gephardt, people who supported, voted for the war resolution, it's a question they want on the table. And it was, you know, Joe Lieberman gave a very tough speech about Howard Dean this week that flowed directly out of the ad, even though there's no evidence that Lieberman had any connection with it.
So we'll be hearing, Landev, we'll be hearing Joe Lieberman quoted endlessly by the Republicans come the fall, if Howard Dean is the nominee.
He's my favorite right now. I think John Kerry, John Edwards, they had a failure of courage when Dean leapt to the fore. They abandoned what had been their position. They tried to imitate him. Now they're attacking not only on the lack of experience, but Lieberman is asking the core question, which is if Howard Dean had his way, Saddam Hussein would be in power today. And that debate has to be joined at some point.
The irony is that Dean gave a speech this week on foreign policy that was a very tough speech in very many respects. On the one hand, the good news for Dean is it got more attention than it might have gotten. The bad news is that the only attention it got is saying, no, the capture of Saddam Hussein does not fundamentally change things. The one person who has actually been out of this fray to a significant degree is Edwards. He hasn't jumped back in. Edwards has had sort of been calmer about it. And I think Gephardt in Iowa is praying that Joe Lieberman's attacks work as a kind of bank shot. They don't help Lieberman, but they might help him, and Kerry is hoping for that, too.
The person who knifes a king doesn't get to be king.
One other point, to step away from presidential politics for a moment. This week, Senator John Breaux, Democrat of Louisiana, announced that he's retiring from the Senate. He joins Ernest Hollings of South Carolina, Bob Graham of Florida, John Edwards of North Carolina, and Zell Miller of Georgia. Five Southern Democrats leaving the U.S. Senate. What does this say about the future of the Senate and the future of the Democratic Party, David?
The first
Brooks
thing, John Breaux is a very creative legislator who was a centrist Democrat. And for centrist Democrats, they lose a very very strong and creative champion. If Howard Dean is the nominee, I think a lot of people believe the Democrats would lose all five of those seats because he just will not play well in the South.
If they would lose all five of those seats, you'd have a smaller Democratic Party but a more liberal Democratic Party in Washington.
That's right, and that's sort of been the trend, frankly, for both parties, more polarized for the past decade or so.
EJ, can the Democrats look somewhere else and hope to win back some seats, if not those?
They can, although this is very bad news. Democrats are not whistling Dixie today. I mean, they have a good shot in Illinois, a possible shot in Alaska, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma. But in order to take the Senate, they've got to hold some of those seats. I think their best shot may well be Louisiana, where they won the governor's race this year. But a lot of Democrats are very disappointed that some of these members will be sort of joining the AARP and taking Social Security. They'd much rather have them in the Senate.
Back to this this argument among the Democrats right now. I just wonder whether you guys think this is inevitable for the party out of power going against the incumbent president, that it ultimately gets really messy and this is the great disadvantage, or have the Democrats made some terrible error here getting this
well,
nasty?
Well, both. I think fights are generally good for a party because they really liven it up. But those who forget history are condemned to not repeat it. And they've forgotten the Clinton success formula. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they ran away from it, but that's the big story of the year.
The irony is a lot of these people actually are Clinton Democrats. I mean, every one of these Democrats supports a balanced budget. They're critical of Bush's handling of the budget. The politics changed on 9/11, and the issues they're arguing about right now, which is especially the Iraq issue, are not issues that were on the table under Bill Clinton. So that having these new issues, Democrats are struggling right now to come to terms with this. The real problem is that Democrats were not in a position to nominate McGovern, and yet the fights that are going on right now are as divisive as the fights that happened in the late 1960s and early 1970s. And that's a real problem for Democrats.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, David Brooks of The New York Times, thank you both very much.
Thank you.